it's not just about a rail link. If we're really serious in this country, in this world, about getting carbon emissions down, then the only way we're going to get carbon emissions down is by getting people out of their domestic car and onto public transport. People won't go onto public transport unless they see that the services are efficient, safe, clean and non-expensive. And the reality is, at the end of the day, is what's basically happening is that we're being told there's all these austerity measures in place, and the only way we're going to get people back to work now is these big projects like motorway tolls, building bridges and railway lines. So this is a project that gets people back to work, and that's got to be one of the key concerns, especially for youngsters, where there's a minimum quarter of people unemployed at the moment, give an opportunity to be part of this project. It cuts carbon emissions down. But when people start saying about, oh, it might damage the environment, I live in a part of London where there's a crossrail being built right the way through London, which has completely disrupted people's lives. And there's not a mention about, from the so-called wealthy ideological people, about, oh, who cares less about the environment when it affects parts of East London.
Well, let's talk about some of the other things there then, because one of the things you raise is this idea that, you know, the ideological idea that you're against rail. And I think people in this area would probably take exception to that, because we potentially across Beds, Hucks and Bucks will benefit from this east-west rail link, the Bedford to Cambridge link. I think people have no issue with that. They will obviously benefit from it. It will create links that are not currently there. No one, I don't think, has an objection to rail per se, but I think the question is whether High Speed 2 is the right form.
Well, the reality is, you haven't let me finish, and the reality is, when the Jubilee Line extension was built in East London, there was no concern about people's environment then. When Crossrail was being built from parts of eastern Essex right the way through to Berkshire, there's not a problem mentioned when it goes through in a city. All of a sudden, we've got a high-speed rail link, which, number one, business people recommend and understand that Birmingham, being the second capital of Britain, can now start making choices where people can start putting their business into Birmingham, into the Midlands, rather it all be congregated into London. And the only way going forward, go to Spain, go to France, go to Germany, go to Japan, even America now. They're all going down the route of high-speed rail. They recognise the fact that it's the most environmentally friendly way of travelling, it's the most efficient way of travelling, and it depends on business. Wherever you build high-speed rail, businesses flourish.
Well, let's come away from Europe for a second, and let's, instead of going to Germany and France and Spain, let's go to Kent, to Faversham, to Rochester and to Medway, where we already have high-speed rail, high-speed one, which in many cases, certainly the last time I was on it, was around about half full. And if you hear comments from commuters on that line, their own existing classic rail lines have had journey time extensions up to 80 minutes instead of 70. They've had services locally halved from four trains down to two. You can understand why people are concerned that high-speed rail doesn't always actually be the greatest thing it could be.
Well, that's all you ask. I mean, at the end of the day, when people were travelling from Dover before high-speed rail, it took 1 hour 50 minutes to get into London Bridge or Charing Cross or Victoria. Now you can get on the train from Dover and get into St Pancras on the ISP for 1 hour 10 minutes. People now can commute freely from Dover.
Great, but what about the people who are trying to commute from midway through? So, for example, the people in the Chilterns area will be concerned about what may happen to the Virgin line, to the London Midland line, to all the other lines as a result of High Speed 2 being built somewhere else.
There's more people using the trains now than back to 1920. More people using the trains than ever before. Even in the middle of this austerity, people using the tubes and the trains are going up. Last year, the tube had a record of carrying the amount of people on the tube. They carried a record amount of people. The mainline railways are carrying a mainline, a massive and a record amount of people. And what we've got is a situation where each year we keep on getting told that there's global warming and there's carbon emissions and we've got to do something about it. The only way people can do something about it is by investing and getting people onto the railways. And you say about Europe, then go to Spain and you can jump on a train from Spain, from Barcelona to Seville. And if the train's more than 10 minutes late, you get your money back.
And Spain are broke.
That's how brilliant they've done it.
And Spain are broke. They've got no money. They're dead.
Well, Britain's broke as well. We owe money as well. But the idea at the end of the day, you've got 2.5-3 million people on the dole queues. You've got builders on the dole queues. You've got civil engineers on the dole queues. You've got labourers on the dole queues. Why not get them off the dole queues and stop paying them social security and get them to work on this high-speed project where they can actually start paying tax back into the exchequer and do something for the dignity of their life?